When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, I'm Kat Farmer.
And I'm Marianne Jones, and this is Been There, Done That, Got the Podcast.
Right, so this week I've been there, done that, and why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing, it's because you hate it and I love it.
I don't hate it. Basically, I've had my hair cut, I've had quite a chop.
I don't think you have. I know you say you've had 4 inches off, but yeah. To me, I think when people have, you know, it's still long, but they've had the ends off. In their eyes, it's loads. In my eyes, it just looks kind of thicker and fuller.
Actually, I think it's nearer 5. I mean, I'm going on, obviously, you know, a man's definition of inches. So actually, it's probably 6. Probably.
It's a good 8.
Had half my hair chopped off. No, but actually, it's not long.
You like it long, long.
I know.
Think of it as a spring clean.
Yeah, but it takes so long to grow.
I like it anyway.
You've got a sandwich on your glasses.
Have I?
Yeah.
I've not even been eating a sandwich.
What, crisps?
Oh, I've been eating your crisps.
Eat my crisps. Crisps on your glasses. I had to tell you because it's really distracting.
I did come in and kind of go in Muppet style.
Yeah, no, so it's not, but it's not a bob, and it's a lob, I think you'd say. But it's not even that.
I love a lob.
Well, it's in between. It's that sort of, it's a meh, nothing here, nothing there. I had to have it done. And do you know what? I don't regret it. It is so much healthier. It does feel like a new head of hair.
It looks shiny and nice. And apparently that lob, as you call it, long bob, apparently just shoulder skimming is the most flattering length
really?
For a woman. Yeah. For a woman over 40.
Mm.
I don't know why it's over 40.
Don't care.
No, I don't care.
But that's a little bit like saying everyone should wear navy. And as we're sat here...
Well, I am, and you're wearing black.
All right.
The non-dopamine dressers, yeah, as we are.
It's got a little bit of a shine to it, Maz, because it is still my birthday. we're going to mention it. Then it's done.
This birthday is about as long as January, which has been hell of a long time this year.
Oh, cute. No, I think the point is that I've not actually celebrated my birthday in so many years, apart from last year and this year. I've said this to you before.
Well, hang on, what was that massive party I went to last year?
I said apart from last year.
All right, okay. Life
begins at 50.
51.
But yeah. No, so do you know what? I have to say, it does. And you know when you look in the mirror and you're a bit like, oh, I don't recognise them. Oh, I know that sounds really dramatic. Get your tiny violin out.
That's what I mean. But when you're another person looking at you, that's not what you see. You just see that that your hair looks healthy and nice.
It's a bit like when you have a spot and you think, oh my God, the entire world.
And then you go and tell the entire world, don't you? You go, can you see my spot? Or you go, hiya, can you see my spot?
And they go, no, I didn't notice it. But now I can. Because you tried to cover it up and it looks like it's just basically like sort of like grated parmesan on your face.
You can't stop talking about it. Right, well, anyway, I love it. And I have been there, done that this week. I've just been reading mate of mine, Polly Vernon. She's written in the Times. It's a TikTok trend called loud budgeting.
Can I just say the way you say it?
Did I say TikTok?
It's like when my mom, you remember years ago when your mom used to say something?
The
like,
face of the book.
No, I didn't. It's like the giraffe, the wham. The wham.
Oh, my mom always put that in front of everything. Like if I work for Grazia, she'd go, she works for the Grazia.
But I love it. I love the fact that we've turned...
The TikTok.
Oh, my God. We've turned into those people.
Definitely.
TikTok.
The tick of the tock, as you like to call it. Anyway, apparently there's this trend of that's known as loud budgeting, which made me guffaw because I have been doing loud budgeting. I've been telling everyone that I'm saving money. I've done this early spring clean of the finances, basically because I'm broke. So I've cancelled the annual holiday insurance, which were quite rubbish anyway, when we had to cancel. And I'm just doing it as and when I go on the cheapest thing. I've decided that we're going to paint the house ourselves instead of getting someone in because the quote was eye-watering.
Oh my God, how much was it to paint?
It was like $4,000.
To do the whole house?
To do the inside. No, it wasn't even every room.
I actually don't think that. I know.
Actually, it might. Was it more?
I think.
I just remember thinking, no, I'm not.
Because I was about
that.
To say for $4,000. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of money. But did it include paint?
No, it didn't include paint. You had to get your own paint.
I know, but if it's quite a lot.
And paint's a lot.
Paint's so much.
I know. And also, do you know what I've done? Are you that sort of person, listener and cat, that you're so lazy when it comes round and they'll go, oh, your house insurance will just automatically renew, or your blah, blah, whatever insurance automatically renew. Do you shop around or do you just go, oh, they've only put it up by 50 quid, I'll just go with it because I can't be arsed.
Okay, two things. One, have you seen my email inbox? The fact that you think I might
I know read what it. Camp you're in. You're in the same camp as me.
You actually asked me that question and thought you thought, no, I do.
I thought maybe there might be an area of your life that you're really absolutely all over it, like a rash.
That
sounded terrible. Do you know what I mean, though? Life admin.
Oh, don't know.
I'm really bad at it. I suspected you were the same and you are. I just let it slide. So, like, if you keep the same thing for, I'm boring myself now, 3 or 4 years, you're probably paying, like, 200 quid more than you need to. So I'm shopping around. It's dead boring. It's worth it.
You're using Compare the Market.
Now, which one do we use? I either use Martin's Money Saving Thingy Bob or Compare the Market.
Yeah.
Meerkat.
Meerkat.
I once did it because I think there were free meerkats going.
But I didn't get one.
What? No. I mustn't have filled
something out. We had one, and the dog, yeah, the glasses didn't come out well. Ginny didn't like the meerkat wearing glasses. Yeah, that was swiftly taken off her. Which is a crying.
Myopic meerkat.
Yeah, crying small child.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. And I thought that's a good thing to do in January, well now February. Quite proud of myself. So, anyway.
That was so interesting.
Nodded off there. Oh, anyway, this is more interesting because we're going to talk about this in depth.
Do you know, you could segue, actually. It's quite good because the long hair thing does actually segue quite neatly into it, doesn't it?
Go on then, segue.
Well, I can't because I can't
read
your writing.
I'm having a drink of your champagne.
Yeah, I know. This is very decadent, isn't it? We've got champagne.
Afternoon champagne because we can.
Yeah.
Because we're still celebrating your birthday, even though it's February. As we record.
Because I'm going away next week. For work, before you, I'm just going to say that before
you get there. We're getting this in early.
So it's not even being my birthday. Yeah, my birthday's tomorrow. God, this is so boring. Move
so
on.
So listen, as you listen to this, The Apprentice will have been back last night. Love it. Even now, I love it. It's a bit like Dragon's Den. It's been going for years. Yeah. I still have to watch it.
And in fact,
we have a little WhatsApp group, us and the kids, because the kids, it's what the one thing we'd all watch as a family and the adult, because there's always a numpty, there's always something that appeals to every bit of the family. So it will have been back last night. However, we won't have watched it. But what we have just done is read this story. Forgive us, it's in the Daily Mail. So take it with whatever a pinch of salt you want to, but it was very, very interesting because Karen Brady, who's obviously the only woman on the panel, isn't she? Panel, what do you call
it? Well, there are other women when they come to do the interviews, aren't they?
Oh yeah, but not the, because there's her, there's obviously Alan's the main fella. Claude, he comes and goes now, doesn't he?
Tim does, has been doing it more, and I love Tim. Yeah. So Tim was one of the old apprentice winners.
Oh, I like him.
I love him. But I have to say, well, Claude. Oh,
you've got
God.
A crush on Claude,
massive.
Haven't you?
Yeah.
I know, I don't know what it is about Claude.
Oh, my God. Totally.
Is it a power thing?
I don't know. There was Claude, and then there was also years ago, don't judge me, Harry from Spooks.
I don't remember him.
What? Do you remember Spooks?
No, I don't think God's I watched it.
It was amazing.
Well, anyway, after we'll look him
Claude.
Up. Can I just
call Claude Littler?
Littner.
Oh, Littner. There we go.
I don't think it's Littler.
Luke.
God, that would be the coincidence of all coincidences, wouldn't it? There couldn't be more different.
All my worlds colliding.
Do you know what I saw? Sorry, I'm going off another complete tangent. Boy Swallows Universe. Oh my God. Brian, who was in the Thornbirds.
Told I looked you.
It up. Oh my God, he's 76.
Does look amazing.
He's sexy as.
I know.
Fit as.
Which is quite ironic. This is actually, you're not going off on that much of a tangent. No. It's quite relevant.
We're bringing it back. Because Karen Brady was interviewed and she said that the BBC have apparently employed this glam squad in inverted commas. So makeup artists and hair people who've worked on Love Island to basically make her not look her age, make her a bit more glam. And she's quoted as saying, look, the thing that happens as you get older is your good days become less and less. She's 54 and apparently it's about showing the candidates that they can be sexy and successful.
You are
in the boardroom.
You what?
I've got all sorts of questions.
What?
I am going to say this will have been Daily Mailed up to the hilt. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm presuming the quotes are real. Whether the context is or not, I don't know. But that's what's been said online. I read it, and I just thought, oh my God, where do you start with that?
Where do you start? Why? What? Wow.
Karen Brady, 54. Claude, 74.
74?
Lord Sugar, 76. They've not got the glam squad. And apparently, she said, when she's having a, like getting it all done, her hair and her makeup, he says, Lord Sugar says, oh, the scaffolding's out.
Wow.
Mm. Do you think, Kat, because you're in the world of style and styling as well as everything else, do you think she's got a point?
No, not even close. I, do you know what? It's really hard to unpick it, isn't it? Because from her perspective, I can understand that you want to look your best. Okay, you want to look your best. And, you know, I mean, I wrote a whole book on it. You know, the fact that...
Change people available in all good bookshops.
Yeah, one thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter. One thing I asked Maz to bring today. Can you bring me my book?
I know, I forgot it. And it's not because it's in the charity shop like that's you what claimed.
I said. So yesterday, you'll love this. So I said, Maz, do me a favour. I said, I haven't got a copy of my book here. Can you bring yours? Yeah, absolutely. I said, unless you send it to the Chazza shop. She said, no, I haven't. And I said, in inverted commas, cue Marianne, Thursday morning, rushing out
morning.
Every Chazza shop in Sevenoaks. Do you have a copy of
which there are many.
Yeah. Anyway, so no, but the point is that it's not vain, it's not fickle to say, it's a fact of life that if you feel you look great, you will feel great. Okay, so if you look great and you think, I know, I'm really pleased with how I look, I love the way I look, you will feel better. Full stop, end off. That's psychological. That is nothing to do with being vain or being fickle. It's just how we, and men, feel. It's not just a female perspective from this. So I can understand that. But to say that your best days are over, I mean, that makes me want to weep. Well, weep or punch someone in the tits.
She says, your good days become less and less. Now, I would personally dispute that. I don't necessarily think that as you get older and female, your good days necessarily have to become less or less. I personally think that when you are older, I mean, I put a picture up of me the other week to many people's amusements of me when I was shot for a feature and I was in my 20s. I looked ridiculous. I'd had all the hair and makeup. Shirt was awful. Hairstyle literally looked like I was wearing my dog on my head. Makeup all frosty, and everybody said it was like your kind of American newsreader styling.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, it was the end, early 90s.
Okay.
Now, that particular picture wasn't my natural style, but I think you only do become very comfortable about your style, including your hair, your makeup, what you like wearing, that little bit older, don't you?
I think it also comes down to, you know, hopefully the older you get, I found, I know you have, and I know lots of other women do find that they have more confidence in themselves. And I think once you have more confidence, you know, you look back, you know, we all look exactly the same. Whereas now, I think we don't. I think if you are able to, you know, take what you know is important to you and how you want to look, then yes, that's great. And I think you do just turn around and go, I don't really give a shit. But I think where the tricky thing lies, and this is something that we always have, and there will be people right now screaming at the radio saying, the radio.
What radio?
What am I on?
Are we on the radio?
No, we're not on the radio.
Oh, God. Tune into another station, everyone.
shouting full stop. That's just me. I shout at everything. I say, okay, fine. Well, if that's the case, if you are more confident in yourself, why do you feel the need to have those aesthetic procedures? Why do you feel the need to, I don't know, all those things. The thing that makes me always laugh, we come back to it time and time and time again, is that it's just aesthetic procedures that are shoved onto the bus, not wearing makeup, not the fact, for example, I put up the other day on Instagram about my, lippy. My moustache shaver.
Oh, your moustache shaver. Yes. Yeah, yeah, I've got that. Yes.
Now, the point is that most people, you only get your moustache, I'm telling it to you, your tattooed moustache.
Moustache.
Your moustache gets worse the older you get.
Embrace the moustache.
Well, exactly. So, but it's okay to get rid of that. That's not vain. Or to have your teeth done, that's not vain. But as soon as you start going anywhere near a needle, to maybe, you know what, I want to put my teeth back where they were. I actually want to put my face back sort of where it was.
Yeah.
People just go, oh, you're not embracing getting older. I am. I'm embracing getting older in my own way. But I don't do it to look sexy. Word makes me want to vomit.
Presumably in the world of TV and TV programmes, if there's a confident woman, Karen Brady's got to be it.
Yeah.
Do you think she's still under maybe pressure like Alan Sugar isn't and the other males on the show to actually look glam, look glamour? Because they've not got the glam squad on them, have they?
Well, I know you did mention actually that she gets loads of, did you read, when you were reading this out to me earlier, did you say, I just made this up, that she gets a lot of stick about how she looks?
Not in that feature.
Okay, I read it somewhere else. Then the fact that, you know, she does get, you know, people criticize
yeah,
her.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. She's under the microscope, whatever she wears,
but
isn't she?
Exactly. So much. You'd never say, oh my God, did you see the cut of Alan's suit? It was horrendous.
Yeah.
You know, oh my God, did you see? He looked a little bit tubby in that. You'd never, ever say that about
him. Never, ever
and
comment.
And also,
yeah.
Do you know the irony of all of this? You can guarantee that the people that have been criticizing her are women.
You always say that.
Always. It's not going to be men. I very, very much doubt that a man would go, oh my God, have you seen that hideous dress she's got on? Or, oh my God, look, she's looking really old. Or, oh my God, she's looking really puffy. Or, oh my God, her hair looks terrible. I really can't see a man would say that.
I suppose, though, you're saying that from the point of social media and maybe your own, you know, Instagram, etc. feed, in which you're most likely to have a mainly female following.
But no.
So that would follow, wouldn't it?
But do you know what? Over all the years that I've done styling, it's women, when women come and they have insecurities, those insecurities predominantly have been fueled by other women.
That's interesting.
And I think...
What question can we put out then about this? What poll?
Well, I don't know, because I just think it's the sexy and the fact that you need to be sexy to be...
That's
to
the
be
other thing.
Successful.
Yeah.
That for me is the most disturbing thing.
Yeah. So they've employed these makeup artists and new hair people to show candidates they can be sexy and successful in the boardroom. I would argue or pose the question, why do you need to be sexy?
It's just extraordinary. I have no idea. I don't know. It beggars belief. I also think, though, it comes back to it. It is sort of an apprentice thing. Over the last, and it's been going for what now? How many years?
God, I don't know. I should have looked that up.
I want to say 10, but I actually think it's about 19.
I think it is a lot longer than 10, yeah.
But I remember starting years and years, I've been doing it for years, and it would always be, you know, the apprentice wardrobe would always, it's like a category of its own.
Yeah.
And it is those sort of Roland Murray, you know, sort of Karen Millen dresses from circa 1995.
In primary colours,
jewel colours. Yes. Cobalt blue.
Yeah, like that kind of Herve Leger kind of bandage to their body.
Yes.
Massive, it's a real look, isn't it?
With massive heels. And that was the apprentice look. Now, in the last couple of seasons, because it's one of the reasons I watch it, because I am obsessed, there have been more trouser suits. But it is still this very corporate. It is all the women you could see. I mean, do you know what? I can't put words into their mouth. So maybe they weren't trying to be sexy. But I mean, I never wore a dress like that to work.
No.
Ever.
Oh my God, could you see me in one of those?
Oh God, I'd give good money.
Look,
oh
like
my
Dick
God.
Emery.
Oh my God, I could. You would look. Oh my God. I would. Oh God. Can you do it? I'm going to put you in.
I'm an absolute shocker.
I'm going to do it in Quality Street Purple because they love that colour as well. Red.
What should we ask? Should we actually ask then, have you ever felt pressurised to look sexy at work? Is that a good question?
If You're a pole dancer, maybe.
Well, that's in the job description, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Stripper? I don't know.
Anyway, by the time this comes out, we'll have thought of a question. But let us know what you think about that.
Yes.
It's a good one, isn't it? And while we're on main women fronting up TV shows, let's go on to our fashion whinge, not whinge, because this week I think it's going to be a fashion obsession. I'm obsessed, and again, as we're recording this.
This isn't what we're going to talk about.
No, I know, but it leads us on to what we're going to talk about. I've been obsessed with Claudia Winkleman's wardrobe in Traitors. We realised when I got here that the Traitors final is, as we record this, tomorrow. But I've just not been able to stop looking and then searching for all the links as to what she's been wearing, because I think she's kind of brought a bit of a new genre about Traitors dressing. And then you said she's been wearing quite a lot of mini skirts, mini kilts, mini skirts. She wore this absolutely stunning short, the Vampire's Wife dress. And then over to you, Kat, because you're wearing minis.
Well, first of all, can I just say that as much as we love Claudia's wardrobe, actually, can I just say it's all down to Sinead McCaffrey, who is her stylist. So
heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, no, everyone, but I hope everyone knows, you know, Claudia doesn't go shopping for her own stuff. She looks amazing in it, and she obviously has a say in what she does and doesn't want to wear. But it is Sinead who puts this wardrobe together and also her Strictly wardrobe, and she's a genius. And they obviously work really closely together to get that symbiotic relationship between, you know, stylist and client. Is to make her look that good is well done, Sinead. Anyway, so yes, it's the mini skirt I wanted to talk about, because
which I can't see Karen Brady in.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Karen Brady's 54, Claudia Winkleman's 52. Interestingly,
but I think it comes back to a style, doesn't it? You know, I couldn't see Karen rocking up in like a little kilt with like a chunky Aran jumper, you know, a pair of tights and a pair of Chelsea boots. It's just not her style. So I think she almost veers towards that corporate, I would call it corporate sexy.
Well, that's her world, isn't it? That's her natural world.
Well, it is a natural world.
Corporate. Karen.
But why do you have to wear a corporate really?
Well, because that's what she'll have always worn since she was 18, 19, and, yeah, you know, being in charge of a football club and had to feel like she had to look the part.
Yeah, but I worked in the corporate world, and I can guarantee you I never wore anything along those lines, ever.
What did you wear then when you were in the corporate world?
I did used to wear short skirts, actually. I'd wear short skirts. I love a polo neck. It was more sort of Ali McGraw-esque corporate.
Mind you, when I had a period of wearing chunky polo necks and short kilts, I had a brown kilt, and I had them in different colours, and I'd wear it with a chunky, like a chocolate tight and a chocolate boot or a chunky shoe.
Well, also, when I was corporate, it was very much the heyday of L.K. Bennett. So it was the kitten heel, at their back, actually, the pointy kitten heel, and I'd wear a very fitted polo neck.
But you'd have looked sexy. I look like Velma off Scooby-Doo. You look like the other one off Scooby-Doo. What's she called? The one who looks sexy, Daphne. In it. Daphne.
Where did that come from?
Daphne and
My
Velma.
My brain is full of shit. No, and then I used to also wear sort of cropped little trousers with ballet flats. Actually, I did love the polo neck, a little blazer. Again, quite sort of Audrey Hepburn. But it was corporate, but it wasn't. I never wore anything that was overtly sexy.
Did you ever do cleavage?
I haven't got any fring cleavage.
Because the picture they put up, and I think it might be the new shots for The Apprentice, although I could be wrong, Karen's got quite a bit of the old cleavage showing. Quite a lot of cleavage.
I did used to have loads of boobs, but I had nothing. No, I did, but I did used to get my legs out. Not literally. Sorry.
Get your legs out for the lads. You see, when I was younger, I still have got big boobs, but when I was younger, they faced the right way. Well, I don't think they were ever off. I couldn't have tucked them in my socks back then.
Just south.
But I would never, ever, 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 ever have felt comfortable in a low-cut top. And you could say, well, why not? But I'd have been mortified.
Yeah. So the point is, full circle, I have been wearing recently, I bought it actually recently, a faux leather mini skirt. I have got one that I bought a couple of years ago. It's a little bit longer, and I actually do wear that with bare legs. It's on the side. This is shorter, and it's quite short. Not really short, but it's A-line as well. So it's not like a pencil skirt, not that that makes any difference. So it's kilt-esque, but it's faux leather. It's like a really buttery, beautiful faux leather with like poppers down the front. And I wear that again with a chunky jumper, a blazer, and I had it on with, what happened with yesterday? The other 2 days, knee-high boots, or like a little, those little cowboy funny boots, kitten heel boots that I've got. And yeah, very opaque tights. Yeah. And my point is it okay? And this is the big thing.
Yeah.
What people say, you shouldn't wear a miniskirt at that age. But, so I can't, if you said, can't imagine Karen in one. Claudia's been wearing one, but it's been a kilt. I can't wear a kilt. I mean, I would look like I'd escaped from St. Trinian's in a bad way.
No, but there are some kilts from like Le Kilt, which is a brand I really love, that are quite plain and very, very chic. I like kind of a plain black kilt. Can just look really, really nice. Not a traditional style. But
you know what? As you're talking, I'm just thinking, it's not so much the kilt as in, personally, I'm not a massive fan of tartan. And I know that the two aren't mutually exclusive, but generally, when you talk kilt, you go tartan.
Tartan, yeah.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be doing.
Absolutely.
I did do a chocolate brown tartan in my younger days.
That sounds nice.
And it was quite a mini. It was very cute. It was very, very nice. But then Claudia will counteract the leg with a Doc Martin boot, won't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it kind of cools it up.
Yeah, well, she does. She has been doing short dress as well. But I mean, well, on Strictly, she does it with a stiletto. Mm. But this is obviously, you know, autumnal or winter. So she will do it with a boot. And I think I said this, can't remember what I was talking about, actually, something on Instagram. I said about, I think, again, I'm going to talk about my party again. I am wearing it's nearly over.
This is becoming like your cruise.
Anyway, moving on. It's done though. It's only once a year. So I am wearing I'm wearing a short dress tonight, Maz. I'm wearing a short fitted tiny dress. Oh my god.
I've got a dress on for you today, but it's not short.
It's not short and it's knitted. Oh no, mine's a Christmas dress.
Well, I can't wait to see that.
But I could no way in a million years wear that with like a really elegant shoe. Oh my god.
Because it would just look do you think it'd just be a little bit over the top?
Oh, it's just not me. So I'm wearing it with a boot.
Yeah, exactly. Can I put a controversial question out there? And I would encourage you to be honest.
Yes.
Safe space and all that.
Yeah. And it's anonymous.
Are there any items of clothing out there, or shoe or whatever, accessory, that you feel are non-age appropriate?
That's brilliant.
That you just think after a certain age, I don't think you should really wear that. Just be honest, because we're not going to...
That's brilliant.
Give your name away.
No.
I just love to get a gauge on what people really think.
It is. And my take on it is, or should we save my take? We can cover it next week.
We'll cover it next week if you like.
Cover it next week, because what might come in and I can say why. And actually, it's fine. If you don't want to wear it, it's fine. But I would never judge anybody else for wearing it. She says, having just judged all the girls in The Apprentice, moving on very swiftly.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I just say it's not, I don't judge them. I just think I'm just intrigued as to why you would like, you want to dress in a sexy way for work.
And it's like a uniform as well, isn't it?
But it's also such a juxtaposition. I mean, we did touch on the fact that if you are in a certain industry, hold on, you know, a certain industry, which you're very, as you said in your job description, you should be sexy. But the point is, this is a corporate world. I would hope that, you know, you're keen to have equality with, you know, your male counterparts. Where does the sexy bit come into this?
Well, some might argue that a lot of the jobs still go to the guys, and the girls feel they have to look like that, under pressure to look like that.
But that's what I'm interested to know. Is that why?
Interesting.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, moving on to from sexy to something that I wouldn't have described as that sexy, although it's nice, Kat. Not sexy.
All right.
It's our Meesum Threesomes. Meesum Threesomes, Trio Treats, keeping us through the week. Go on.
So are you saying that it's not, hang on a minute, bear with me, caller. Are you saying that none of these are sexy, or just my first one?
Well, the third one's not sexy.
Oh, you say that.
Oh, all right.
You say that.
The first one you put on for me, it's an item of clothing, and it's nice, but I wouldn't describe it as sexy.
It's not supposed to be sexy. Right. It's functional. Oh, for God's
sake. Spit it out.
All right. Okay, you've ruined it now. I just, you know, it was a birthday present. from a friend, and it's a House of
How
Haman.
How many more times can she mention her birthday? Yeah, sorry. Just go on.
Don't challenge me. Don't challenge me, because I'll accept
you're gonna
that
win.
Challenge.
You're going to win.
It's a robe. Is it a kimono? I think it's called a kimono, actually. It's a robe.
No, kimono's usually silk.
Shut up.
Isn't it?
Well, no.
Oh, off she goes wandering.
I've wandered away.
Do you know what? When you hear all these funny noises, listeners, it's always Kat scraping her stool back and picking something up.
Okay. It's a robe. It's by House of Hammam. And I want to say...
House of Hammam.
Hammam. Yeah. H-A-M-M-A-M. It's like a cheesecloth almost. And it's got... These are all painted. It's got painted on eyes. And I love it. And I think they call it kimono style, because it's got the long, like, bell sleeve.
Like fluted sleeve.
Yeah, with a little fringe at the bottom.
But it's kind of made from thick cream cheesecloth, isn't it? Is that what you'd call it?
Yes, it's absolutely fantastic. And it's already dirty. I put it on this morning.
What have you got?
I think it's coffee.
It's very, 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 very lovely.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's handmade with love. And do you know what? In the morning, if I come down and make a cup of coffee, and I don't have to then go and get tracksuit trousers and a sweatshirt to put on, because I don't actually have a dressing gown.
Oh, I love dressing gowns. Yeah. Because for that exact thing, you know, I don't wear anything when I go to bed. So I wear pyjamas in the evening, then I take them off to go to bed, because I'm claustrophobic, can't have anything touching my skin. When I get up in the morning, I can't be bothered putting all the everything back on again.
Same.
So I've got a robe.
So have I now.
But mine's like a towel in pink one.
All right, Nana.
Nick said it looks like a giant condom. So I am actually looking for a new one.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't know you get toweling. I mean, I've not seen a condom in a long time.
Nor have I.
Are they now
not
toweling?
Sure they make them into in 5'3" toweling somehow. But this one, that's absolutely pink. Fantastic.
I need to know what shape. Oh my God, my brain is now going.
Stop. Anyway, it's very nice. House of Hammam robe. Covered in evil eyes, isn't it? That wards off bad luck.
And they're great. There's a couple of neon ones there. It's great. They're painted, hand-painted on. It's absolutely wonderful. And it was a present from a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful friend. And I love it. Oh. And as she said, you are so, so difficult to buy for.
Yeah. Impossible. I only got you a caterpillar cake.
That's amazing.
Okay.
That's good, you see. That's great. Well done.
Yeah, it's useful.
Oh, so, what I'm going to do, sorry. Oh, next week, I'm going to tell about all my birthday presents. I've got a whole album. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Let's do a birthday thing for every month of the year. Just eke it out till maybe August.
Oh, no, I'm done now. I said I can't do it because people in bloody February and June get cross.
Well, I'm cross and it's February.
I'm making the most of it because it's January and now it's done.
So I'm changing the mood completely. I am listening to a podcast by a writer and broadcaster called John Ronson, who's been going for years. It's a very funny writer on Radio 4 called Things Fell Apart. And it's about the culture wars. And you might think, oh, that sounds a bit boring.
I'm so sorry.
It's
me and my culture wars.
Well, what do you mean? About the polarisation of culture, the whole kind of Daily Mail, Daily Telegraph polarisation of one set of people against another.
Okay, two things. One, I didn't know, is it set in the present day?
Yes.
Okay. And two, is it set, because my head's going to America, is it set in America?
A lot of it is in America.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of it is, you know, you can trace back to the delightful Donald Trump. Some of them, and others just kind of misinformation that people have misconstrued, and it's had almost tragic consequences. But some of the stories are so jaw-dropping that you almost don't believe them, about the kind of hysteria that people can get in. Just the most bizarre stories you've ever heard, basically on misinformation, the harm it does. There's this one where, I mean, it's not funny, that, you know, the whole thing with Trump slagging off the Antifa movement, which stands for anti-fascist, and kind of demonising a group of people to the point where, they're going to come, they're going to kill your babies, it's absolutely nonsense. Well, in the kind of absolute arse end of nowhere of a state in America, I think it was 20, 2020. So it was during lockdown, but you were allowed to go out for picnics. This family, who were Twilight fans, it's all a bit strange.
Whoa.
Have you heard of this?
No, what, Twilight as in the books?
Yeah. So they were Twilight fans. So they were all dressed in black. They were just a family who loved the characters of Twilight. So they simply were dressed in black.
Vampires?
No, just like emos, I suppose.
Okay.
And they went out on a family camping trip, drove through this funny kind of Hicksville quiet town in America to a park, set up on a picnic, and then basically somebody spotted them, called the sheriff, said the Antifas are in town, they're going to kill our babies, basically. And the next thing they heard, they were just having a little barbecue. They could hear gunshots, chainsaws, because some of the townsfolk had basically barricaded them in by sawing off all of these trees. And God knows what would have happened, but the sheriff turns up, realizes this family are just a kind of
slightly unusual
normal family with a quirky dress sense, and they were going to be absolutely railroaded out of town, or worse.
Yeah.
So that's just one strand of one story, and it's crazy and so interesting. There's one on George Floyd, which is so fascinating, because there's something in that story that I never knew was a factor in it all, and I'm not going to tell you because it's absolutely insane, but puts a whole different perspective on it.
I mean, you can spend time in America, unless you've lived in America, it is impossible to understand how fundamentally different so much of their culture is compared to ours. So you've obviously got, you know, there are areas of the US which are obviously very quite similar in culture to us, you know, like the Northeast, and obviously, you know, the far West. There is so much in the middle and so much
and south
that is, I mean, I lived in America, and I still to this day, am I in another universe? And it's almost like it's not one country. You can't almost treat it like one country.
No.
And also, what we don't understand, and we fail to understand, I think, here, our media doesn't report it particularly well, is how controlled their media is over there. And I remember going to Florida. So I lived there years and years and years ago. And that was when Bush, I mean, oh my God, they were all horrified when Bush got in. I mean, you know, but now. And so I went about eight, nine years ago now to Florida. And it was just pre the elections. It was October, just pre the fateful elections when Trump got in. And we were in Florida. Anyway, and, you know, wandering around, you chat to people. And obviously over here, it seemed an anathema that, you know, Trump could get in. I mean, of course he won't. Clinton's going to get in. Hillary's going to get in. Oh my God. Everybody you speak to, and these are seemingly, I mean, to be massively judgmental, intelligent, you know, normal, like-minded people, you know, that you'd meet and you'd chat to, and they bring it up. I mean, you don't bring it up about the election. They're like, you know, oh, of course, you know, Trump's going to get in. And I remember saying to the first one I met, no, what? Yeah. And the shock horror that even you do know this is actually going to happen. Everybody in Florida votes for him. Not everybody, obviously. And then the fact that, you know, all these things about Hillary that weren't really ever reported. I mean, they are if you do a deep dive.
The whole pizza gate was.
There's more than that as well. There's a lot more. But if you do
a deep dive. I mean, it's horrendous.
That's reported here. So,
a lot of it's online, isn't it? And a lot of it is.
Yeah, but our mainstream press will say, you know, it's not going to get in. Whereas actually, he is. He actually is.
Well,
and he did.
History's going to repeat itself soon as well, isn't it? Oh, potentially.
Well, when you speak to these people, but they genuinely, it's not as if, and they're not particularly, they don't come across as being ill-informed people. They are really informed, but just with a rhetoric that is so one-sided. And that, I think, is what we can't really comprehend about their culture, because it doesn't really happen here. And I know people say it does, and we have biased press. Mm. I know we have biased press, but we have a balance of it, a balance of bias both ways.
Mm. Well, I'm not going into that. But
why, Marianne?
Biased press, right. Anyway, so I would honestly urge you to listen to this series. It's brilliant. I just put it on thinking, what's this going to be like? And I was absolutely gripped. They're like horror stories.
Well, speaking of that, there is actually that new program on Netflix which people keep asking me if I've seen. I think it's called American Horror Stories.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it's a three-part. Well, I thought it was a drama, but it's actually a documentary. And again, it is about these things that happen in America that are so... Here, we are like, how did that happen? Apparently, it's amazing. Yeah. It's really chilling.
So, Things Fell Apart.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
And how many episodes is it?
I'm not really quite sure. I've listened to three. I think it might be six. So, Radio 4 or... presumably
anywhere
can do sounds or whatever, yeah.
Download your podcast.
Very, 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 very good.
Right, I have, as we speak, it's not actually arrived because it was supposed to arrive today, it's not arrived.
Dying to see it.
I have got some new art.
Get you with your
I
art.
I know.
Not a poster, is it?
No. To be fair, I have had it for a while, but I wasn't ready to get it framed. So I've just had it framed. The framers have taken a long time doing it. But it is a piece of art by one of my favourite artists, a guy called Dave Bonaguidi. And I'm not going to tell you what it says. It actually leads very neatly on our Monday mini pod. It's not so much a mantra as in it's more, but it's words on a wall.
Okay.
Your face, you're like that.
You've not told me.
Have I not?
No, I've got words on a wall in my shed, haven't I?
Oh, you've got words. Oh, yeah, but not the same words on a wall.
I've got,
you've got
when you say it, it's, oh God, what is it?
Oh, I know.
It's wrong when I say, whatever, anyway.
So I've got his as well. I've got some of his in Suffolk, and I've got lots of Dave. I've got three of Dave's in Suffolk, but this one is for my flat. And it's also Maz, steady yourself, bright pink,
yeah,
it's neon pink, and it's a phrase. It's not a famous phrase. It's something that he said, and he made it for me, and it's just brilliant. Obviously, it's got a swear word in it, but it's not the C word. Don't worry.
That's your favorite.
It's my favorite, but it is. I'm really, really excited, and I'm so looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, we'll see it next week.
I will take a picture of it and I'll show you. And I'm very, very, very excited, but I can't have that. It's quite big to get on a tattoo. We'll save that.
Oh, what, the words?
The words, quite a lot. Yeah, that'd be a sleeve. Not doing that.
Can't wait. Right. Continuing with the cultural theme, I've sold my kidney, booked tickets to see SJP and Matthew Broderick in Plaza Suite. Yeah. This is a theatrical production at the Savoy that they're in. It's, I think it started either earlier this week
or
last week. Yeah. And it goes on until March. And my mate said, oh, my God, we've got to get tickets, got to get tickets. So we were on looking. And they kept going in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
And the cheapest we could get, because I can't do, I mean, honestly, it goes up to like £400 packages each. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Much as I love her, I'm not doing that. It was £125. We finally found a couple of stall tickets for that. But I can't wait to see it. I just can't wait. And
I
said to her...
I've not seen any reviews, actually.
You know what? Nor have I.
I've not seen any.
Oh, it better be bloody good. And the other thing I said to my mate, Kazza, I said, if the understudies are on that night, I want the money back.
Can you imagine?
No, I'll be furious.
It's a risk.
But
risk you take.
So it's a comedy about... love and marriage, all taking, I think it's, they play three different couples in this hotel suite.
And it's Carrie and Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah. And yeah, so that's what I've done because I'm determined this year to be more cultural.
Okay.
Get me?
Christ. Well, if I do that, I've got,
expensive to be cultural.
My bar's low. My bar is really low. So on that note.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not starting just yet.
Give us your low bar.
Shut up. Okay. So this is something that everybody can get involved in. It doesn't matter where you live in the UK. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. This is something that everybody can get on board
with.
It's
not an expensive hobby.
It's not expensive at all. Hobby is probably a strong word. Mm. I have been playing...
That lip. What do you think these are?
I don't know. That's probably quite loud, actually. I'm so sorry. I probably burst my eardrum doing that. Dominoes. Now... do you know what? When you first saying, oh, dominoes. When it first said, we're going to play dominoes, I was a bit like, yeah, all right, okay. I'm utterly addicted.
Have you always played dominoes?
Not for years. Because when I used to go on holiday, I used to play cards. So we still play cards. I love cards. I mean, I play cards for hours and hours and hours. But now, fear not, I can add dominoes into the mix and obviously darts. Honestly,
oh my God. It's like a pub in here. It's like a dog and duck.
There's always booze. There's always booze. It's better than a pub.
I tell you what, be cheaper. I'll just come round here.
Everybody does.
We used to play dominoes when I was a kid. I never quite understood them because at one point you turn them round and they go a different way, and I never knew when you were allowed to do that.
Do
whatever
you want.
Yeah, and I never quite got that.
So when you've got a double, the double's got to go perpendicular. Yeah. Other than that, it can be sort of it's only the double. But even then, if you're not playing on a bit, we'll put on the island here. It's not. You might get quite near an end. So. Matt, that's not the point. The point is, it's seriously addictive. It's seriously addictive.
Are you good at it?
Well, no. The thing about this is, I played with somebody recently who basically could count the count the dominoes. So
count the dominoes?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well,
don't count them for me.
I'm not going to count them for you, but each domino, there are only so many, so you can see what's gone. Basically, so you can look and go, well, I know.
Oh, there's not another whatever coming up.
Exactly. I've got a six and a blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that, that takes some doing that, doesn't it?
I can't be asked for that. No, I mean, it's numbers. I mean, forget it. Absolutely no way. Oh, no, I'm much more interested to see how long you can spin it for.
I didn't know you could spin a domino. Well, why you'd want to.
Well, these have got spinners on them.
But what's the spinner for?
So the spinners are when you pull.
I don't get it.
When you put them down, are you actually trying to make me actually look like a knob?
No, because when I was a kid, our dominoes were cheap plastic, like black. Oh. You've got like marble cream ones with gold spinners in the centre, and I don't know what the spinner's for.
So when you put them face down and you need to shuffle them, they can move really easily and they don't scratch. I don't know.
Are you sure?
No. That's what I was told. I'm sticking with it. They're so satisfying to put on a table and just
spin. I would like to spin them. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly.
Spin the wheel.
These are, I really
wish. Is one missing?
No, there isn't one missing. I don't think there might be.
It looks like there's one missing to me, Kat.
I haven't thrown them on
the floor. You've dropped one?
No, I haven't. I might have, the other week I might have thrown some cards on the floor.
Well, that is a cheap, satisfying winter game.
But no, it's a great holiday game as well.
Oh, and holiday game. You can just bob it in your bag.
Look at that. I mean, it's amazing. All you need is you don't even need that much space because you can make it work. You know, you can make the area be as small as you like. You just twist your dominoes accordingly.
I love dominoes. I love cards. I don't love darts, but I have played darts. It's proper northern in here now.
Don't be such a... No, it's not. It's like a house of fun. it's a glorified child lives here. No, it's not. It's brilliant.
Love it.
It's amazing. Yeah. Cheap. Look at that, you see. Cheap entertainment.
Cheap as chips.
It's amazing.
Loving it.
And can I say, the older you get, the more it's really good for your brain.
Is it?
Yes.
I suppose it is.
Of course it is.
Yeah, you've got to think, haven't you?
Well, a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Loving that. Yeah. Well, on the theme of cheap, I am re-wearing for my final thing.
I noticed that.
I know. I've had this for years. It's a T-bar gold necklace, and I never know how to say this lovely designer's name. Tilly Sveas.
That's how I've always said it.
Is it Sveaas?
Yes.
And she does amazing, amazing, amazing jewellery. My favourites are all her T-bar stuff. And the problem is, I saw somebody on Insta wearing a giant, really giant, one of her silver chunky necklaces. So it's much bigger than this, and much more statement.
Well, all I'm going to say
is, now I want that.
But all I'm going to say is, you're not very tall, and I think if it was any bigger, and also in silver, it might look that you should be being tied up somewhere with it.
Like a Rottweiler or a very Dachshund.
Well, I was going to go. I was thinking,
we're going to do dog types now.
I was going to do a cow.
Cow. Oh, cheers for that.
I'm so sorry. But it looks like something you'd hook. You'd hook them up to a
but
wall.
You have to be careful on the chain, don't
Why?
You? Because some of them, well, like the watch chains do look like sometimes leashes. But there's different ones, isn't there? There's Belchers, there's whatever. I just want the next size up and just wear it alone.
Okay. I would love
the Well, I've not got it. I'm just thinking that I'd like one. The bracelets are great.
I want a T-bar bracelet.
And you know what she does as well? T-bar earrings that are really nice.
Really?
Yeah, they're so nice. I'm going to get you into them.
Okay, fine. All right, brilliant. We'll
but I'm rewearing. Those. I just thought, I've got all this jewellery that I don't really look at.
Yeah.
Bring it out and rewear it.
Well, I wear the same things every day.
Well, I do. But then when you get bored, instead of thinking, oh, I need something new, you don't. You need one of your old bits and bobs.
I tell you, I never, ever take that off.
That is Tiffany, and that's Tiffany, and I barely take that off.
Well, they don't do it in silver anymore.
No, I know.
They're doing gold. I'm well, special. I don't take these off because you can't take them off. So I don't take the Cartier off because it's...
You have to be unscrewed, don't you? I have to be unscrewed out of it.
I have to be unscrewed. And that little bracelet there is actually welded on.
Oh, God.
That's the welded one on.
I can't afford the Cartier one, but I'd like to.
Oh, well, yeah, we have. Oh, that was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. We had long conversations about
that.
We
did. That. I there. Right,
okay, thank you. It is a wrap, folks. Thank you for listening to Being There, Done That, Got the Podcast. Now, do leave us a nice review wherever you listen to us because it does all help.
And for polls next week, do follow us on Insta at Got the Podcast.
See you for our mini pod on Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye-bye.